Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. It's Wednesday, December 3rd, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, coming to you live from Gainesville, Florida, as I do every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website at www.drdialanier.com, and that's www.drdialanier.com. Today's topic, what we're talking about today, is feeling good about ourselves and the importance of mental well-being. And last week, we talked about exercise and ways to incorporate different types of physical activity into our daily lives. And we discussed three important elements of fitness, namely aerobic activity to develop endurance. The second was strength and resistance training in order to strengthen our muscles and our bones. And the third was stretching, which improves our flexibility. Today, I want to focus on mental well-being and feeling good about ourselves, both in general and as it relates to being healthy and weight loss or maintenance. Now, when I looked up, let me find a good definition of mental health. I actually came across the World Health Organization definition. They put out a fact sheet in September 2007. World Health Organization is abbreviated WHO, and I thought it was a good one. In their constitution, they define health in general as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, which I think is a good point, and mental health is right up there in the definition of health in general. They go on to further define mental health as a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make a contribution to his or her community. And I thought that was actually an excellent definition of mental health, and it's really important for us to think about feeling good about ourselves, and that it doesn't depend on how much money or possessions we may have, or even being at our ideal weight. It's definitely more involved than that. They actually looked at mental health as being determined by socioeconomic and environmental factors, and this we know to be true. So if you have an individual or a community that have or continue to have social and economic disadvantages, that's actually recognized as a risk to mental health. And when you're talking about mental health disorders, actually things like feeling insecure and hopeless, if you feel like there's a risk of violence to you or your family, or if there's a risk of physical ill health or disease, in situations like that, and I also mentioned economic disadvantage situations, it's very difficult to maintain a high level of mental health. Difficult, but not impossible. So, it's hard. If you're trying to, where I talk a lot about being healthy and eating right and exercising, feeling good about ourselves. But it's hard to do that if you're seriously concerned about keeping a roof over your head or where you're going to get your next meal from for you and your family. So that's an important consideration to point out. And in cases like that, it's important to get help so you can improve your mental health overall. There are actually a lot of things that can affect our mental health. What I'm really going to be referring to, there are things like severe anxiety and depression, other mental illnesses and conditions that might require a doctor's care or a licensed therapist or other healthcare professional and or medication if it's severe enough. And I'm actually not referring to those conditions. What I'll be talking about is, when we're feeling down or stressed out, how we can turn that around. And I think that's an important point to mention. And I'll focus particularly on self-esteem and stress. So looking at self-esteem, it's basically described as how we feel about ourselves. So self-esteem, another way of saying it, is self-worth. And it's based on our perception of our abilities and also how we believe other people accept us and how they value us as individuals. So with your self-esteem, it can affect your confidence, and it also affects how we behave and function in life. And when you look at all of that, it's an internal belief system that we have, and self-esteem in general, and that belief system stems from our life experience and relationships, and more importantly, how we interpret those. So if you have like low self-esteem, I should say, in order to improve that, you can do it by changing the beliefs that you have about yourself. And in doing that, you'll increase your confidence and your enjoyment of living overall. Some tips in order to do that and improve your self-esteem would be to accept who you are and be comfortable in your own skin. And a lot of times we can be very critical of ourselves, even more than we are of other people. And we need to look and find out what standard we're setting for ourselves. If your gold standard or your highest standard is going to be perfection, then you're going to leave yourself room for great disappointment because you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. And so if you try to attain perfection, you're going to be disappointed. And so I think what we all should realize and remember is that we're unique. So you're a unique individual, as am I. You have your own personality. You have your own life experiences and backgrounds. You have certain strengths and weaknesses, and you have certain gifts and talents. And so it's important when you're looking at how unique you are that you take all of those things into consideration. And so it's important that you don't have to compare yourself with other people because you're different and everyone has things about themselves. Also, it's important for us not to try to live up to expectations that other people think should be on us. We need to be true to ourselves at all times. Another tip would be to give yourself permission to make mistakes. Mistakes are a natural part of learning and self-improvement, and everybody makes them. It's a normal part of life. And what's important is that we learn from the mistakes that we make, and also our attitude, the attitude that we have while we're learning the lesson that our mistakes teach us is very important. And failure happens all the time. It's unavoidable. But it's important that when we make mistakes and when we fail at certain things, it's not a reflection of who you are as a person. It's just, a consequence of a decision that you may have made or a choice you may have made. If we're talking about health, if you lost some weight and then gained it back, then that may have been, the decisions that you made in terms of what you were eating, but it doesn't mean you're a failure. Likewise, in life in general, if you do poorly on a presentation, maybe you procrastinated, maybe you didn't prepare well enough, but that doesn't make you a failure. So I think we should remember that. A good tip, and actually I have some of these from an article by Barbara White talking about tips to improve self-esteem, was remember that we have a choice on how we react and respond in situations. And she actually gave a quote that was made by Eleanor Roosevelt, It said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And I actually think that's a great quote and a good point because it's very true. And so, you know, when we're faced with situations, we can choose how we react and respond. And a lot of times we can make better decisions if we take a couple of deep breaths before we do that. Another tip would be looking at your fears from a different perspective that she mentions. And everybody gets afraid. We all get afraid. We all have fear. But what we shouldn't do is allow our fear to scare us into inactivity or to paralyze us. You know, a lot of times our bodies, we don't know whether it's a real situation that we're reacting to or if it's something that we've made up in our mind. And so it's important for us to keep our fear in perspective. It's important also that we step outside of our comfort zone. And when we do that, we are afraid. And it's not because we think we're definitely going to fail, but it's because stepping outside of your comfort zone, you're going into unfamiliar territory. And so it's important to recognize the fear and then just kind of move on and move through it anyhow. And that's a great part of development and growth personally for us in general as it relates to all different kinds of things. Looking particularly at weight affecting self-confidence, a lot of times in being overweight and obese, it can affect your perception about yourself and your abilities. There are negative side effects such as self-doubt, independence, lack of trust, and feeling inferior or unloved, as well as severe self-criticism and low self-worth. So what I think is important in that situation, it relates to other situations as well, is to just look at your history. A little bit earlier, I gave an example of maybe having lost a little bit of weight and gained some back. You want to just look at your past weight loss in that situation and your personal history and just look at your patterns and try not to judge them but just kind of learn from them. So if you eat a Thanksgiving just passed, and I'm sure we hopefully we ate pretty well, good portion sizes. But if you overdid it on a meal, then it's important for you not to say, oh, I can never, you know, eat right. You can just say, you know, look at the situation and say, oh, you know, I overate. I didn't make a good choice at that time. But during my next meal, I'm going to, control my portion size a little better. I'm going to eat more fruits and vegetables, or I'm going to go for a walk after I eat. So whatever it is, you want to focus on what you can do right now in being successful as it relates to your weight loss or weight maintenance. But in life, if you do poorly on, I mentioned a presentation, you can say, you know, I didn't prepare adequately for that, but next time I'll be sure to do that, or I'll, you know, look up more information. So this works in terms of us being healthy as well as in life in general. I just actually want to, in case you're just joining us, let you know that you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. I want to thank you for tuning in. And we're talking about the importance of mental well-being and feeling good about ourselves. So I'd focus on self-esteem and stress. So we talked about self-esteem. The kind of second side of that is dealing with stress. And all of us today experience stress every day, and we really can benefit from learning stress management skills, and that's for everyone, both adults and children. Some sources of stress for people in general, and especially adults, can be work demands or frustrations, negative thoughts and feelings about yourself. If you're living in an unsafe living environment or neighborhood, that can be stressful. Also, things like chronic illness or severe problems in the family, death of a loved one, taking on too many activities or having too high of expectations, family financial problems, all of these things can be stressful for everyone and adults in particular. And for children, things like school demands and frustrations or changes in their bodies, especially in the preteen and teenage time, problems with friends or peers at school, They may be dealing with separation or a divorce of parents or moving away or changing school. So there are lots of situations that can be stressful for everyone. And when we don't find ways to adequately manage our stress or deal with it, it can lead to all sorts of problems, especially anxiety or withdrawal, aggression, and as well as physical illness. It can reduce your immune system and you can be sick more often, or you can have poor coping skills that lead to drug and or alcohol use. So a lot of times when we are in a stressful situation, there are changes that occur in our minds and our bodies that prepare us to respond for danger. And this is like the fight, flight, or freeze. Actually, usually it's fight or flight, but I did mention being scared into inactivity. So freeze is actually another response that can come out of being in a stressful situation. And the types of things that happens in our bodies are our hearts beat faster, our breathing rate increases. We have increased blood flow to our muscles in our arms and our legs in case we need to get out of Dodge for some reason. We can have cold or clammy hands and feet, upset stomach, and or a sense of dread. So all of those type of ways that our bodies respond to stress can really have an effect on our mental well-being. And you may have seen in stories about or articles, if you read them, on stress and cortisol level, which is often referred to as the stress hormone. And it's a substance that is actually produced by the adrenal glands in our bodies. And we actually need a small amount of cortisol in the bloodstream. It's essential for different types of functions like brain, immune, muscle, and blood sugar function, as well as blood circulation. But if we have too much cortisol or too much of the stress hormone, it can. We found that it's linked to abdominal obesity or being, having lots of fat around the middle, as well as high blood pressure, high blood sugar, muscle wasting, shutting down your immune system, as well as poor wound healing and a lot of other things. When you look at how that plays out in everyday life, high cortisol levels can cause increased fatigue or tiredness, as well as decreased energy. It can cause you to be more irritable. It can impair your memory and concentration. It can cause depressed mood and anxiety, decreased libido, insomnia, and, crying, restlessness, social withdrawal, and an overall sense of hopelessness. So these are important things that affect how we feel in a general sense, and it can be, brought on by stress. High cortisol level can also contribute to obesity because of the metabolic disruptions that it causes in our bodies, including insulin resistance. And also you can see stress overeating, especially in women. That can be a problem that adds to weight in relation to stress. So that's quite a few things running down or problems that we can come into. The question is, what can we do in order to change that? What can we do in order to reduce the effects of stress on our bodies? One thing that we can do is think positively about yourself and your body, and that goes back to the self-esteem and feeling comfortable in your own skin and with where you are and where you'd like to go. Another thing is healthy eating. Big surprise there, but healthy eating is very important for that. And I'm not talking just focusing on calories and fat grams, but I'm talking about feeding yourself good, nutritious food in balanced meals and snacks that are going to include different food groups that we talked about, like the whole grains and fruits and vegetables and proteins that your body needs in order to function. And also having, things in moderation. If you have a strong taste, I'll take myself, for like a piece of chocolate. Sometimes a carrot's not going to do in that situation, and that's okay. If you have it, then go ahead and have that in moderation if you really want it, but just making sure that you, do things in moderation. Because if you tell yourself you can't have it, it's forbidden, that'll be all you think about. So it's important to incorporate things like that into our diet as part of our discretionary calories. Another thing would be regular exercise and moving our bodies. Exercise is a tremendous stress reducer. I mentioned it last week. You can feel the effects almost immediately. And I mentioned the release of endorphins or the feel-good chemicals in our body. That could be released as an effect of being physically active, and that even if you spread out physical activity throughout the day, as long as you get it in to your daily routine, you will definitely see the benefits. Actually, there are lots of studies now. They looked at physical activity and the influence of it on mental well-being. Now, we know there's been a lot of research on exercise, the importance of exercise in terms of our health, and a lot of the case for that has been made on the effects of exercise on coronary heart disease and reducing our risk for that, as well as on obesity and diabetes. But when you look at mental health and mental disorders and illness, there's been increasing research on the role of exercise in the treatment of mental health, as well as in improving mental well-being in the general population. And there's one article that I'm talking about, in particular by K.R. Fox, who's from the Public Health Nutrition Journal, the Department of Exercise and Health Sciences. And what they did was look at a bunch of studies that looked at that. And summarize the potential for exercise as a therapy for subclinical and clinical depression or anxiety, as well as use of physical activity and upgrading your quality of life by improving your self-esteem and your mood state and reducing your anxiety, as well as improving your sleep. And so they looked at a bunch of articles and found that there was sufficient evidence that exists that point to the effectiveness of exercise in treating clinical depression. Also, exercise has a moderate reducing effect on anxiety and can improve physical self-perceptions and, in some cases, self-esteem. And there's also good evidence that aerobic and resistance or strength exercise can enhance your mood state. They looked, and there was some weak evidence that exercise can improve your cognitive function, and that was primarily, you know, they looked at that mainly by looking at reaction time in older adults. But overall, when they did the entire review of the literature that they looked at, it suggested that moderate exercise should be considered as a viable way to treat depression and anxiety and to improve your mental well-being in general. So that is evidence-based medicine at its best. And so they looked at it, and it definitely is very helpful. Another thing would be to make sure you're getting enough sleep. If you're tired, and if you're, you know, when you're tired and stressed, that just makes even the littlest things seem huge. You know, like a small problem can turn into a very big problem when you're very tired. So it's important for us to get the sleep that we need and to feel rested as well. Also, we want to avoid excess caffeine intake. Caffeine can make you anxious and a little bit agitated, so we want to limit how much caffeine we take. And caffeine can be found in tea and sugar, as well as, tea and coffee, as well as energy drinks and chocolate and things of that nature. So look for all sources of caffeine where you can overdo it. We want to avoid illegal drugs, alcohol and tobacco. And if you are already smoking, having a smoking cessation program would be a good way to try to stop smoking cigarettes. Another thing would be to learn relaxation exercises like abdominal breathing and muscle relaxation techniques. Other things that you can do are other things that relax you or get you grounded and into a right frame of mind. And for me personally, that's things like prayer, meditation, Bible study for me. Those help me keep me grounded and focus on what's greater than me. Another thing that's helpful for me would be service to others. If I'm sitting there feeling kind of, woe is me, I have to do this, and I'm not finding joy in the things that I'm doing, then I need to stop for a minute and say, what can I do to help other people? Maybe I need to volunteer here or do something. And that service is good for a couple of reasons. One, it feels good to help out. Another would be it benefits you as well as the person or other people that you're helping. And the third thing is it takes the focus off you and your problems by redirecting your attention to something else. So I think that's a great thing to do. You want to learn practical coping skills. So if you have something, a large task, like whether you're trying to lose weight or you have a big project you need to do, you want to just break that down, that large, huge task, into smaller, more attainable action steps so that you can accomplish it without feeling overwhelmed. We want to decrease the negative self-talk. So if you have negative thoughts that are rattling around in your head about yourself, you want to challenge those with alternative, neutral, or positive thoughts. For example, if you're thinking, oh, my life's never going to get better, which is a pretty negative thought, you can transform that to, oh, I may feel hopeless or sad now, but my life will get better if I work at it and get some help. And so that takes a little bit of the bite out of negative thoughts when you shift it into a more positive or neutral outlook. Another thing would be to feel good about what you're doing or the job that you have done, and to make sure that your goals are reasonable and not like you're trying to or demanding perfection from yourself and others. You may need to take a break from a stressful situation. So things like listening to music or talking to a friend can be helpful. And not only taking a break from stressful situations, but just taking some time for yourself, even if it's 10 minutes to reflect or relax, or whether you just take some time to have a cup of tea or get a foot rub or listen to relaxing music, go for a walk, do a crossword puzzle, watch, you know, a program, whatever it is that helps you to take time for yourself. I think that's an important thing to remember, just something for you, writing, reading, anything of that nature. And then another and the last thing is to build a network of friends and family who help you cope in a positive way. That's an important part of our community of family and friends that help us kind of deal with things. And so that's important for us to keep in mind. Another thing that I want to specifically touch on with respect to parenting, that can also be very stressful when we're talking about parenting and being the best parent that we can be. Sometimes, if you think about it, it's a very tough job. I know by experience, because I am a parent to two wonderful children, but sometimes it can seem like there's never enough time or money or sleep or help, and so that's easy in that situation to become stressed or overwhelmed. But in addition to the tips that I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you also want to try not to to realize that stress is a normal part of parenting, and if you know how to deal with it, that can help you immensely. And then realizing that certain situations can bring on increased stress, like a new baby or family changes or illness, and to just not to do it all yourself. So juggling family, housework, a job, maybe school or a business is a lot for anyone to handle. So when it's possible, share household jobs and have everyone in the family pitch in, or ask a relative, a friend, or neighbor if they can help. And that's something that can decrease our stress and improve our overall mental well-being. So I hope that those tips were helpful. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when our topic will be breaking down food labels. We're going to flip over that nutrition facts label and get into it and find out what's the best way to read it so we can eat as healthy as we can. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Have a good one.